I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What an completely and utterly bonkers race that was in Baku. I mean, it started off pretty sedately, really, and I thought, okay, this is going to be a bit of a snooze fest. And then we had the safety car, and it all just went completely nutso. You know, I'm not quite sure where to begin. I suppose I could go team-wise. That might be a way to dissect it, because I'm not quite sure how else you're going to talk about. There's a talking point for pretty much every single team on the grid. So let's start at the top. Mercedes. I thought Hamilton did a brilliant job in qualifying, because as the weekend, you know, was going along and in free practice, he looked like he was on the back foot. But then when we came to qualifying, he dug it out. And I genuinely believe that, you know, one of Lewis's strengths has always been braking and corner entry. And I think that when the track is low grip and when he doesn't have that ultimate peak grip, he's not able to extract the best performance he wants from the combination of the tires and the track surface. And therefore, it doesn't quite happen for him. And that's very symptomatic of a low grip surface. We saw it in Monaco, we saw it in Sochi, and we saw it in free practice here. But the temperature here in Baku dropped away very quickly as soon as the sun started to set. And I think in qualifying, obviously the track's cleaned up a lot more, there's more rubber down, the temperature drops, there's more grip, and he's able to use that incredible feel he's got under braking and corner entry. And he's just so good at feeling, you know, the point of the lockup is his modulation on the brake has been one of his big strengths. And he's able, you know, I think he did it brilliantly in qualifying. And really in the race, well, what can you say? You know, I think he was going to be the winner. You know, apart that headrest came loose. It sounds like it was just a one-off. It wasn't put in place properly, probably under the red flag when he got out of the car. And that cost him the win. You know, really one of the big talking points of the race has got to be that incident with Vettel under the safety car. That was something, you know, that we saw a slightly unusual situation. I think, you know, it's Lewis's prerogative to control the pace. So it's absolutely up to him to decide how fast he wants to go or how slow he wants to go under the safety car once the lights are out and you're leading the restart. And he did hold a constant pace. Initially, I thought not, but you know, when I watched the replay back a couple of times, he did hold a constant pace. And in the end, I think he slightly wrong-footed Seb. Seb went to the back of him, which is just one of those things. It's a, you know, it's always tricky on the safety car, cold brakes, cold tires, and I think that was okay. But then afterwards, when Seb sort of sideswiped him, I guess is the only word you can use, and that was, you know, just out of order, and I think they were right to penalize Seb at that moment. I think Lewis deserves a lot of credit for what he did on those three restarts, because he did something different every time. It is so, you can't underestimate that. You know, we saw so many people get overtaken on the restarts. There's such a long drag down to turn one. And I thought every single time he did a fantastic job of just thinking, you know, of the right moment to accelerate and make sure that he didn't get overtaken. And even after the race, you know, in all the interviews he did, I thought he handled himself really well. Real sort of mature answers, and talked a lot about, you know, how you know, the team supported him, and they had, you know, one of those things, and with the headdress and stuff. So I thought he dealt with the whole disappointment of not winning in Baku really well. Ferrari just didn't look like they were there all through qualifying. You know, 1.1 seconds off is a huge delta. In the race, you know, Kimi had a scrappy race for a variety of reasons. And Seb didn't look like he could hold on to Lewis, really. I think if it had been a full green race, Lewis would have blitzed it. As it turned out, actually, you know, I thought towards once they clear the traffic after that last restart, after the penalties, I should say, for Seb and the extra stop for Lewis, I thought Lewis would come at Seb and get past him because they had such a pace advantage. But in the end, you know, he couldn't. And that was a little bit surprising, and it sort of ended the status quo. Damage limitation for both those guys. You know, I think the gap going into and out of Baku has sort of stayed the same, you know, within a couple of points. So that's not... It's just another race ticked away, really. So no real big loss. And I think for Sebastian, it's worked out better than, obviously, if they'd finished 1-2, in which case Lewis would have gained 7 points. So, yeah, I think Seb can count himself lucky. A few other mentions of teams. Let's go down the list. Red Bull, obviously, great win for Daniel Ricciardo. Max will be absolutely gutted because he would feel this is a race he should have won. And that's three races in a row, I think. Monaco, Canada, and Baku, that he's genuinely looked like he's had more pace than Daniel. He's looked like the faster of the two Red Bull drivers all weekend, you know, and that's three races in a row. You know, Monaco, the pit stop strategy didn't work out for him. Canada, the car broke down when he was in second place. And here, again, I think he should have been the one to inherit that win when Sebastian and Lewis, you know, took themselves out of the reckoning. So he'd be pretty gutted with the way that worked out for him. But anyway, you know, Daniel, great win. It's always nice to see his big smile on the podium. Great race for Lance Stroll. I think he's done a really, really good job all weekend. He was really good in practice and qualifying, stayed within touching distance of Felipe all through practice, out-qualified him for the first time, which I thought was a really good effort. You know, first time here in Baku. And in the race, it was very mature stuff. He, you know, didn't crack under pressure. Okay, Valtteri got him at the end, but as he came into the final corner through the second sector, he was 1.2 seconds in front. That's just a combination of slipstream, a Mercedes engine cranked up to the hilt, DRS, and that was enough for Valtteri to get him by a tenth of a second. But I think Lance should be really proud of the way he dealt with the pressure all through the race. And I think he, you know, hopefully that'll be a... I think Canada was a turning point for him, and hopefully this will be another one to just boost his confidence even more. And I think he did a very good job all weekend. The people who should be disappointed, Force India, certainly. You know, they were probably running one... They would have been running 1 and 2 on the road. You know, when Seb and Lewis disappeared down the order, they should have ended up 1-2, and instead they ended up hitting each other, which, you know, I saw some very tense conversations between Bob Fernley and Checo afterwards, and yeah, I thought really, as you know, watching from the outside, if you were Ocon, you'd give your teammate a bit more space. And I think we saw the after effects of Canada, where obviously there was a few issues there between them. And I think if Canada hadn't happened in that way between those two teammates, maybe Ocon would have been a bit more respectful of Checo. But in the end, Ocon didn't leave him much space, and I think they ended up hitting each other, which was really bad for the team. You know, that was a big haul of points that they left on the table. Nico Hülkenberg will be another one who will be really disappointed. And, you know, again, the place that he hit the wall was really odd. I don't think I've ever seen anybody get close to that wall, really. So it was a really odd one that he seemed to sort of get hooked up on the inside curb and it just could drive into the inside wall. It was a really odd. And it's interesting with Nico because, he still hasn't had a podium in F1. And once again, when that low-hanging fruit is there, we saw it so many times when he was at Force India, when there was that, podium available to them. It was Checo who got it, and again here there's a podium available. It was Stroll who got it. The odd one out of the top three, away from the top three teams, and Nico's never been able to capitalize for whatever reason on those big results. And he'd be pretty disappointed with the way today panned out, because he was in for a good haul of points, which would have been useful for Renault. I think Toro Rosso would be disappointed. Sainz's spin on the opening corner, he blamed Kvyat, but I think when he looks at the replay, he'd take that back. McLaren managed to get points, finally. I'm sure they're pretty relieved with that, to finally get some points on the board. I'm pretty sure Fernando is amazed that he finished the race, considering all the reliability wars he's had recently. But yeah, overall, so many talking points. Such a crazy race. And I think, I suppose, in many ways, this is the race that we were expecting to have last year in Baku. Street circuit, extremely high speed, there was plenty of overtaking, and a very, very unique challenge. So, yeah, I think it certainly delivered plenty for the fans.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.